are living in urgent times. If you are living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, it is August 5th, 2024. 9 months ago, I signed off on radio, and I have not been on radio since, so I am so excited to be with you live today. That's right, live on WTMR 800 AM on the radio. Let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this moment together. We thank you and praise you for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. We thank you and praise you for WTMR 800 AM actually airing and broadcasting this amazing network. We pray that this is a powerful day, that those who are supposed to be listening will be tuning in, and those that who are not will tune in later. We thank you, Lord. We entrust this program to your Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In your holy name, amen. Well, before going on the air, Maureen, who basically runs In His Sign Catholic Radio, said, are you excited? And I said, I feel like it's Christmas. I'm back on the air again with all of you. I never, ever expected to be live with you again. I thought my radio days were over, but boy, did the Lord have another plan for me. You know, there were times when I actually wrote to my friend in a text, Ann Costa, and said, I think my spiritual gas tank is empty, because just for a brief recap, and there's just so much to share, I fell off of bleachers watching my grandson play football last October 21st, and I broke both of my legs, and I crushed my right femur. And so through great care at a local trauma unit, I had surgery, and my right femur is bionic, and my kneecap has bolts, and my left tibia has bolts in it. So I spent about 5 days, 4 or 5 days in a local hospital after surgery, and then I was transferred to an outstanding rehab for 2 weeks, and then home care, and then physical therapy 3 times a week for months. So basically, the surgeons told me, I'm not going to walk for at least a year, at least a year. So when you're in that much pain and you have no other choice, it's okay, it's a year. It's a year, and what am I supposed to do about it? But the Lord had other plans. And let me tell you a little secret. I shared this with Kathleen McCarthy on the air a couple of weeks ago, but I need to say it again. Kathleen visited me in the hospital about 2 days after my surgery, and she prayed over me. She was going to visit her brother, who happened to be dying at the moment, and by the way, he recovered. She prayed over me and asked me what I wanted, and I said I wanted to go to a particular rehab because they're so well known in the United States and they don't have room. So she just closed her eyes and prayed over me and left. No sooner had she left, about an hour later, the social worker came in and said, you'll never believe it. There is a bed open at the rehab that you asked for. And I knew that was the beginning of God answering my prayers beyond the shadow of a doubt. My friends, my heart is changed drastically. The person who was on the air last year and all the previous years is not sitting here sharing with you today. I was stripped down to the bones. As Father Doug McKay told me while visiting me in the rehab, he said, the Lord is allowing you to be stripped. And I looked at him like, what? Stripped? And I have had spiritual direction in different modalities for over 30 years. But I'm thinking, here I can't move either of my legs. I can't move. And how could I be stripped even more? But what the Lord was teaching me was to have a sensitivity to those who do not have In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, who do not have the sacramental life of the church, who do not have a prayer community or a scripture community. For you see, my friends, I want to share, you know, I shared with some friends a couple days ago that when I went into the rehab unit, I think about two legs, and they're not in cast. One is totally rebuilt with 76 staples, and the other one has bolts. I couldn't move. So they had to transfer me with a Hoyer lift, and that's an electronic lift that lifts you up and took me out of the wheelchair, and they were going to place me in a bed. Well, they put me in the Hoyer lift, and of course, thank God, I had drugs because they were drugging me at that time. The Hoyer lift broke about 7 feet in the air. It broke. So the nurses are like, what are we going to do? And I was hanging 7 feet in the air. And then they manually put me down into the bed. And they said, you're going to love this bed. We just had this bed delivered just for you. And I'm like, okay. So I get in the bed and they're going, oh, no, the bed's not working. There's something wrong with the bed. So they called the manufacturer. He came out. All these people were under my bed trying to figure out why this very, very expensive bed wasn't working. So then the next morning, the nurse said to me, you know, you were in the hospital. You had surgery. You're now here. You need a shower. So we know how to do this. We're going to take the Hoyer lift, the new Hoyer lift, put you in the wheelchair and wheel you into the shower. So I said, okay. So they start to do that. And a male nurse happened to be on duty with her. And he said, I'll go in and make the bathroom, you know, get the shower all ready for the wheelchair. So the next thing you know, I'm from the Hoyer lift to the wheelchair and I hear a yell. The gasket, I guess it's a gasket, on the shower blew out, started to flood the hallway. Everybody starts running and yelling. And I started laughing. I just started laughing. I knew that God wanted me to have a sense of humor in the midst of all this deprivation. And all of a sudden, it became very, very funny to me, but although it wasn't funny. And I knew that God was in control, and I knew exactly what was going on because many of the nurses and nursing staff were involved in Reiki. Yes, that's right, Reiki. And they knew it was on the top of my chart. Do not even ask me if I want Reiki, because they learned that in the hospital. So I knew what was going on. It was a little bit of spiritual warfare going on. So in any case, I had tremendous care, and the Lord was ever present, and Kathleen came again with Doris Kelly to visit me and prayed over me. And then Mary B. D'Amico, God bless her, would bring me the Holy Eucharist and just sit with me after. It was about 5 hours of therapy a day, which included horticultural and art therapy and music therapy and regular therapy. And then one day when I was really, really down and out, I was tired and I was scared because they're saying you're a good year away from recovering. I was being wheeled down the hall by the transport coordinator, and I saw the beautiful face of Father Douglas McKay and Mary B. D'Amico smiling at me. And Father Doug, of course, is blessing everybody in the hallway. And so I went to the end of the hallway, and he prayed with me, anointed me. He had special words, gave me this magnificent Benedictine cross to wear and a miraculous medal. And from that moment on, I had hope because of Father's words to me. And then Michael Norton, who is the president of Malvern Retreat House, visited after one of my therapy sessions. And he said to me, Ann, this is a time when you need to learn how to accept the love of others. Accept the love of others. You're always giving, but now it's time for you to receive. Now, you're probably listening in the car thinking, that's just, of course, everybody wants to receive. But when your life has been one of giving, 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 and that's how you receive your love, it's really hard to be stripped down and to be totally vulnerable, totally vulnerable. And then Father Doug said to me, Ann, I'll never forget this. Ann, the Lord, again, is stripping you, stripping you down. And I said, Father, I don't have a ministry. I have nothing now. Nothing. I can't move. I can't do anything. People have to bring food to me. I can't even use a commode. I had to use a huge board to slide onto a commode. And those of you who have had multiple broken bones know that it's a big board and you literally slide. And they were teaching me how to use that board. And I said, what am I supposed to do? And he said, the Lord will show you. The Lord will show you. And he kept telling me, the Lord is stripping me down. Well, when you're incapacitated, you don't want to hear the Lord is stripping you down, especially when you can't move. So then as part of my rehab, God bless them, there was small group therapy. Some of the people didn't have legs. One man was run over by a tractor trailer while loading it. There was another woman who had a simple surgery downtown, and they made a mistake, and she was paralyzed in her legs. And she was rather young. There were different people with different illnesses, and I sat there thinking, wow, I know I will recover. What about these people? And they were, some were hopeless, and some were hope-filled. So I just listened, and I knew the Lord wanted me to learn from this experience. And I remember saying to my friend Mary B., Mary B., this place is filled with young people who've had brain injuries and accidents, and what in the world is happening? There isn't an In His Sign Catholic radio network in there. There's a chaplain, but they're not allowed to have a radio like this. And there's such a need for hope in these places, not to preach and shove, you know, the Lord down their throats, but to actually live and bring hope. So I was praying about this, and I didn't pray much because I was on a high dose of narcotics. But when I could pray, I just would just say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And I had the rosary there, my mother's Celtic rosary, but I couldn't pray the rosary. I couldn't remember. And a nurse came in. I remember this last night, actually. Every day, because I'm diabetic, they wanted me to have this apple. And they would have some peanut butter on the side. If I looked at one more apple, I thought I was going to just get sick. Just the thought of looking at that apple made me sick. So after her shift, this lovely nurse, who was part of the broken Hoyer, broken bed, and flooding shower, came in and said, I'm going to sit with you, and we're going to eat this apple together. So after her shift, she just peeled the apple, put the peanut butter on, and gave it to me. And I looked at her. She had such love and compassion doing such a simple thing. She didn't go out and buy a $500 gift or send me a bouquet of flowers. She just peeled an apple and put peanut butter on it. And it was a coachable moment for me. It was a life-changing moment. So I knew then that God had really stripped me down to nothing. And then while I was in the rehab, my insurance didn't cover. I was supposed to be in the rehab for a month, but my insurance didn't cover a month. They only covered 2 weeks. I said to my husband, what am I going to do? I don't have a shower. We have a tiny powder room. I can't go up steps. I can't even get on a commode. What are we going to do? And then I received a call that my friend Eddie Morris, the Eddie Morris Foundation, Mary B., Mike Norton, and several other friends raised money for a bathroom to be built on the side of my kitchen, and it's a very tiny kitchen. To push out to put an ADA shower and toilet in there for me, because after all, it was a year recovery. So I cried and witnessed to the nurses, can you believe this, that my friends are doing this for me? And they cried. They couldn't believe that people would do this. And there are the types of things that happened, and I didn't ask for it. And that's being stripped down created me to be so vulnerable to the love, as Mike Norton said, to embrace the love of others, to expect God's intervention, as Kathleen had said, Kathleen McCarthy. So let's fast forward a little bit. because there's so much to share. Because during this time, I really didn't have anyone to bring me the Holy Eucharist. Our parish priest was overworked and busy. And Mary B. lived too far away. So all of a sudden, I receive a call from our parish, from the Legion of Mary. They just said they would bring me the Holy Eucharist. I was so thrilled. And for my husband as well. Now, my husband had to wait on me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I could not move. So he had to help me with the board to the commode, get the meals ready, which that's a whole other show because he doesn't cook. And then my daughter, who lives about 5 minutes away, had to learn to empty a catheter, as I called her at 6 a.m. and she's looking at YouTube. How do we empty a catheter? So it became a total family effort, and my other daughter, who lived 2.5 hours away, came in to prepare meals for a week. So everyone contributed in some aspect, and a beautiful friend in this community who has stage 4 cancer brought soup, homemade soup to us in the midst of her suffering. That astounded me. The students in our local Catholic parish community who played basketball and volleyball in the younger grades made little postcards with stickers on it for me, which really encouraged me. So you see, the hope was coming from little places, not big things. And as I was stripped lower and lower and lower, mentally, spiritually, and physically, the Lord was allowing me to see the giftedness of the little things that count in life, the little things. So right after Christmas, it was a difficult Christmas because I couldn't go Christmas shopping. I just sat in the bed and ordered things for my grandchildren from Santa, of course. And then I received a text from Kathleen McCarthy. I have it here. And she said, and she had told me this before, but because I was heavily medicated, I have somewhat of a memory of it. But this, I have the text. And she said, the Lord told me, you will be totally restored and renewed ahead of time. Well, I just about jumped out of the bed, and my husband, we were filled. I told my children, my grandchildren, because the doctors were saying a year. So my friends, let's fast forward to February. Now I had surgery October 22nd. They're saying a year recovery. February, the beginning, I had an appointment with the surgeon. My daughter came with me. Of course she had to. You have x-rays and all the tests before you see the surgeon. I went in and he goes, you know, it's just amazing how fast your bones healed. And I looked at my daughter and gave her a wink and said to the doctor, it's prayer. It's all prayer. There's just no way my bones would have healed in that short a time when they said a year. Now, remember, I still have a bionic leg with all metal. The bones underneath healed. This is what they told me. So I came home, and I usually can't get out of the car. I have to have my son-in-law, who was working from home, my daughter, my husband, again, the board, to slide out of the car into the wheelchair, and then my son-in-law would push me through the backyard and up the steps into the house to the bed, the hospital bed. I'm waiting for them to open the doors, and I had this urge, get up. Just get up and get out of this car. And so I did. I got myself out of the car, and they're all looking at me like, what in the world? Now, I did everything safely with the board, the wheelchair, but I did it by myself. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit saying, you can do it. You can do it. The next piece of this is, I awakened, and I was in a hospital bed in our little family room in our house. And I had been on home care, and they were trying to have, I couldn't have weight bearing on the right leg, which is rebuilt, a little on the left. So before the home care nurse came, I said to my husband, get my phone. I want you to videotape this. So he did. He videotaped me. I pushed the walker out in front of me and walked. Both legs, about 5 feet. My husband's saying, take it easy. Just, it's on tape. Take it easy. Take it easy. Oh, don't do that. Oh, he was terrified. And I turned around and I said, Kathleen said I would be restored and renewed ahead of time. And I was. So when I went to physical therapy, which is 3 times a week, I pushed the walker out and I walked to the walker and their mouths dropped. My daughter was there. She was a witness to this. I said, I can walk. I can walk. And of course, they're scared that I'm going to fall. So obviously, the therapy changed because I went from I couldn't do anything to all of a sudden things were starting to happen. God was in control and he was allowing me to see all the people who were surrounding me. I was getting better because of the prayers of just ordinary people who offered masses, rosaries, prayed, you know, prayed through the scriptures, the kids on the basketball teams and their stickers, the love, the soup from a mother who has stage 4 breast cancer. It was just what Mike Norton said about accepting the love of those who wanted to give to me. And I must have needed healing, and I know I did, for accepting that love, because it's hard, because it's easier for me to do than to accept and to rest. So it was very, very powerful, my friends. And then Kathleen had a Wake Up America dinner, which I have not been to in 4 years, because not only of this accident, but my immune system, I'm not allowed in crowds. So I knew I had to go to the Wake Up America dinner. And it was a surprise to her to see me in the wheelchair there. And I stood up with my cane and stood up and I showed her physically what God had been doing, which this is my second huge miracle through In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. It's my second. I had one during the Unity Conference many, many years ago. And this was the second one. Again, I go back to the surgeon. And they're stunned. They're stunned. It's like, this is amazing. And the final time I went to the surgeon, I didn't have someone with me. I had the cane and I leaned on the walls and walked down the hall to the surgeon's office. And I went in and they were looking at me and they said, it's amazing. Your x-rays are absolutely amazing. And you don't need to come here anymore. This was in April. You don't need to come here anymore, but continue with your physical therapy. And if you need more, you know what to do. And I just smiled and just said, it's all prayer. It's all prayer. Every step of the way, the Lord wanted me to witness about the power of prayer, but to the ordinary people. So even to the physical therapist, some worked in the concussion unit with young kids who were hurt with sports injuries. Some had been there for 29 years. And, you know, it's not easy. Someone with 2 broken legs and one's rebuilt and the other one's rebuilt around the knee to do physical therapy. And I kept telling them, increase the weights on my leg. Make this harder for me. I have to be able to walk again. I have to be able to walk. And the other piece of this is I cried. And I'm crying now out of gratefulness. I am so grateful to this apostolate and all of you who prayed for me to be able to be on the air again with you again. I cried so much through my rehab and my illness and everything else. I cried, but not out of sadness. They told me at rehab it was PTSD. They called it a polytrauma, which I never heard of. It's multiple really, really bad traumas. And it was, I never heard of it. And so they said, you've suffered some PTSD from polytrauma, and that's why you cry at the drop of a hat. And it was not out of despair or depression. But when I cry now, it's out of gratitude. It's pure gratitude. And so if you're listening today, and I pray one person, just one person is listening who is feeling hopeless, like they can't go on, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. He wants you. He wants you to be healed. Now, I can't tell you that I'm totally healed mentally or spiritually. I'm still struggling, like, to get up from a chair because my back was bad before I fell. And so I struggle to get up from a chair. Those things are not healed yet, but I believe they will be, because Kathleen said the last time she saw me, you're not going to be walking with that cane. You're not going to be walking with that cane. And so the cane is simply a support. But I can't tell you how grateful I am for all of you. I feel so blessed to be on this radio network. There isn't any amount of money that could ever suffice to bring such hope to people like me. And I've been on the air for a long, long time, even before this radio network, to suffice the healing that came through. People think, oh, healing is you're instantly healed of, like, all types of things. I wasn't instantly healed. I had to work at it with the doctors and the therapists. I had to work at it. God wanted me to use that. And he used the people in my parish, my therapist, my family, to help me. And he taught me how to accept their love, to accept their love. And it was the love of the Lord through their little extraordinary acts, which are really ordinary, that healed me. It's those little acts of kindness. You know, even my daughter's friends from the football game put together to get a DoorDash certificate for us to eat. I mean, they're the kind of, I don't even know half the people that did that. People stepped up. It's just extraordinary what happened. And I can't wait to go back to sit on the bottom step of the bleacher to cheer my grandchildren on and to thank the people for their love and their compassion in the community, and most especially on this radio network. My friends, a lot has changed since last October. We lost my beloved friend, Father Jason Kolzinski, who many of you know. He was on the air so many times with me, probably 5 or 6 times last summer. We lost him during his final mass. And I want you to know to pray, please, for Marty Rotella, who is suffering blood cancer. And he is due for a stem cell transplant in September. And there are so many people who've been on the air with me over the years who are no longer with us. And the Lord kept me here for a reason. I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but it may be you, that one person who's listening in the car right now, who had a bad day at work, who had, maybe you're going through a divorce or financial problems, or you lost your job. God has a plan. Take it from me. I could not see God in anything, nothing. I thought that he had abandoned me. And I'm a person with spiritual direction for 35 years and who's led retreats and ministries. He allowed me to be stripped to the bones. And I am so grateful and so grateful for those moments. So if you're listening now, and I know there is someone listening who feels like God could not possibly love you in the midst of your addiction, your sin, whatever it is, your frailty, he has a plan for you. He doesn't pick and choose and go down your street and say, you, you, and you. It's everyone. His merciful love is for everyone. And yes, you who feel so unloved today, he has a plan for you. And my friends, after our break, we're going to be getting into something very powerful. So I ask that you stay tuned. And after the break, we'll return for more loving, compassionate, and caring info on Thy Will Be Done.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
My friends, you're listening to Thy Will Be Done. I'm your host, Ann McGlone, on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. It's August 5th, 2024. It's the first time I've said 2024 on radio, and I'm very excited to be with you today. And we're talking about my personal mission and what God has revealed to me. And He's still revealing, and I'm not quite sure where I'm going or what's happening. But before the program, I spent the afternoon in prayer, and this is what He shared with me. And He wants you to know this as a result of my history, my testimony to you today. Hey, folks, life is difficult. Really? Well, the life we know is a mirage. And those who chase this illusion end up angry, broken, disappointed, cynical, and resentful. Does this sound like one of us? So anyone who thinks life should be easy will look back and will lack empathy for others in their struggles. This is what happened to my heart. It was a look back, like the gratitude for the little things in life and to see the suffering of others. You will also lack empathy for themselves when they're being tossed about by life's difficulties. In the extreme, when their own life gets difficult, that's both of us, they must come to believe there is something wrong with themselves. Now, the problem isn't that life is difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. The problem, my friends, is that we expect it to be easy, or we try to make it easy, right? Now, life proposes a series of challenges to all of us, especially if you're listening today. Problems, dissatisfaction, heartaches, opportunities. Now, how have you responded to these events? Have they determined your direction in life today? Have they? Have you become an expert at problem solving in the lives of others? But you think life itself is a problem? To solve? Come on. But the life is difficult problem is unsolvable because it isn't a problem. My friend Eddie Moe always has said over the last couple of years, you know, people are complaining, you know, this is bad, that is bad, but life is good. God is good. Good things are happening. That resonates in me. That resonates in me, and it has resonated in me. Now, if you're watching the news and you're listening, do you find yourself at a junction in life? I want you to ask yourself, are you at a junction? You know, remember the poem by Robert Frost, The Road Less Traveled? I used to love that. And I always chose The Road Less Traveled, by the way. I was the rebellious one. But anyway, we can return to reality and face head on the difficulties of our lives. Or, hey, we can allow reality to continue to crash against our illusion of an easy life. And boy, oh boy, don't you always hear, I want an easier life. I want an easier life. Many choose their illusions, but they end up suffering more for their avoidance than they would have suffered if they had simply embraced the difficulties of life. Now, do you spend your life complaining about everything and everyone? And only a fool makes an easy life his ultimate goal. So when human beings are at their best, they face the difficulties of life head on. They learn to delay great gratification. They embrace reality. They release illusions and accept responsibility for their lives and live in the wisdom that the most satisfying experiences are often hard. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, I know, if you're a boss, if you own a company. But what if you're a mom of a bunch of kids and you can't feed them right now? This is hard. We begin a debilitating downward spiral once we are addicted to comfort. Whoa. Do you know that? Once we're addicted to comfort, it shifts from strengthening us to weakening us. And that's what Father Doug kept telling me. The Lord is stripping you down. Stripping, weakening. He wasn't weakening me. He was allowing the weakening to be powerful. So this paralysis that we all go through prevents us from standing up for what is good, right, true, and just. And if you want to destroy people, make them comfortable. Give them every comfort they desire. Yep. Give them everything they want. How many parents do that? They give their kids everything they want these days because it numbs our sense of justice by overwhelming it with self-interest. It gives us all a false sense of security, which creates a dependency. It smothers us. Our curiosity, our creativity robs us of our very sense of self. How many parents, and I'm included, want to give my children, your children, all the comforts of life? Well, how many people in our culture are addicted to comfort? Think about that. How many people are addicted to comfort? And, you know, not everybody's 100% addicted to comfort. There's all different degrees. Just as life is not meant to be easy, it's not supposed to be comfortable. My friends, be ever vigilant of the role you allow comfort to play in your life. Allow it to serve you in your trials. I just wanted a decent meal, not peanut butter and jelly. That was a comfort that I really wanted. And at the end of a long day of trials, do not become a lover of comfort. Comfort will destroy you long before the difficulties of life. And there are some comforts, my friends, that will never poison your soul. Inspiration is number one. It won't poison your soul. It will breathe life into you. If you must seek comfort, seek those which raise you up. Don't pull you down. We thrive, my friends, if we have a steady stream of inspirations. I was so blessed to have so many inspirational people around me when my gas tank was empty. I had nothing. Now, all of you would say, now, come on in. You had everything. You had the Lord. You had the Blessed Mother. When you're at that point of desperation, you have nothing. You can't think about anything else. I couldn't even pray. People were praying for me. And trust me, I had over 35 years of spiritual direction, and I couldn't pray. I just wanted the comfort of someone telling me they were praying for me. And that, my friends, was comforting. That, my friends, was comforting. Allow the ordinary to heal you. And that's what happened to me. It was the ordinary gifts of love, the ordinary moments of postcards, of meals. They were the things that healed me. And of course, the trust and expectations of friends praying for me, like Kathleen McCarthy, I need to learn how to play again. I need to learn how to love and to play again. I lost that ability during this whole time of tribulation. I have no clue how to play again. And that means to have fun, to have joy. I'm learning that. I'm relearning that. Because sometimes the suffering still raises its ugly head in one way or the other. And so much of what we do out of obligation, right? Real or imagined. And so much of what we do because we think we have to. We do so many things, right? In our quest to be efficient. But I sit here day after day watching the wall when I was in my hospital bed here, watching the wall. Couldn't read, could care less about TV, played praise worship music, and hoped and prayed for someone to come visit me or to write me a note. What do you do just for the joy of it? I want you to answer that question. What do you do just for the joy of it? And when was the last time you did something just for the joy of it? It's one of the things that I really admire in people. I really admire when people are living their lives, not out of comfort, but out of joy. What can you do for the joy of it today? After this radio program shuts off, what are you going to do for the joy of it? So when we isolate ourselves, and this is something that Father Doug kept saying, when we isolate ourselves, we don't cut ourselves off from the problems, do we? We cut ourselves off from the solutions. Oh my. So I'm going to say that again. When we isolate ourselves, we don't cut ourselves out from the problems. We cut ourselves out from the solutions. And it was people who ultimately drew us out of our sadness. And that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. The people, the small gestures of love that drew me out of my sadness and allowed me to be healed, allowed me to be healed. I was blocking my own healing, listening. Oh, it's a year recovery. You know, if you're lucky, 6 months will get you up. A year recovery. And I believe that until I received that text from Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord is going to restore and renew you ahead of time. That brought joy to me. You know why it brought joy? Because it brought hope. And I had not experienced hope in months. Now, because of the kindness that I mentioned to you of my friends gathering their funds to put a bathroom in for me, which you'll think, well, that's no big deal. What is when you can't shower for a year and your husband's bringing you a tub of hot water every morning on a stool with soap, water, and shampoo? And that was my life, trying to lean over the bed as he gave me a tub of water, hot water, soap, a washcloth, and shampoo. I thought that's going to be my life for a year, and I have to live with it, until my friend stepped up and said, no, this, we're going to do this for you. That was an act of kindness. It was a beautiful expression of humanity, totally unexpected. Now, the power of kindness is so undeniable, isn't it? It's one of your superpowers. Yep. Remember the book? I can't think of the book for children that's a Christian book, a series, and it's about superpowers of the Lord. I used to love that for my kids. Now, we reveal who we are with our own actions. I have to tell you, there is a group of people. I have a group of people who I thought were my friends, never came to visit me. I was stunned. These were very prayerful people. It was those who I didn't have any relationship with. It was through this radio network. It was through my parish who stepped up. They were the ones who stepped up. And I was stunned. We reveal who we are with our actions. Well, they certainly did. So don't let someone's apologies blind you to their actions, especially when their actions are clearly a pattern. You know there's a pattern. You may know Aunt Susie down the street has a pattern. You need to recognize that. Don't pretend it's not happening. Beware of patterns. When you see signs and red flags, don't ignore them, because people are constantly telling you, right, about who they are with their actions. It may be time to start listening more carefully, right? It may be time. And that's one of the things I learned. I have to learn to listen at another sensitive level, not at the level that maybe I grew up with. That's the stripping down, the stripping. That's the tears I experience of gratitude, of love. You see, whatever the cause, the life you hoped and expected to live is gone now after something has happened to you. My life, as I know it, is gone. And all that is left is the unexpected life. I have no idea what God has in store for my life. All I know is that he wanted me back on radio. He absolutely wanted me back on radio when I didn't want to come back on radio and thought it's time to pass the baton on to someone else. Well, Kathleen knew. I didn't know until maybe a month or so ago. I didn't know. And I talked it over with my husband. He said, you need to go back. And I wasn't ready. You see, because I was still grieving, and it's part of the healing process. You know, even though the Lord said, I am going to heal you and restore you ahead of time, I have and still have to go through the steps of grieving, of letting go of the old Anne, the old part of me that the Lord wanted to let go and to just clean up and get ready for the next level of what he has in my life. Because when we suffer trauma, and the doctors at the hospital said I suffered polytrauma, which I never heard of, look it up, polytrauma, we're stunned. Then we become numb. I was numb. And after that initial shock wears off, we can experience stress. You get disoriented, I have been. You get angry, I have been. You get anxious, you get depressed. All those things I have been. And we can also fall in self-blame. And I have been. If you don't attend to your wounds, and boy, this polytrauma was a huge wound, it will begin to fester. It will cause you discomfort at first and then pain. It will ultimately lead to the distortion of your personality. I have struggled with that the last couple months. Who am I? When am I? What am I supposed to do? And it's not what am I supposed to do. I'm supposed to live in the present moment. The present moment. Not, oh, what ministry does God want of me? You know what? He may not want any ministry of me. It may be just to be. And that's what I keep saying to my husband. I'm not doing anything. What does God want of me? And I don't get an answer. I don't get an answer. I'm just being. So don't ignore the fact that you have been hurt or wounded physically, emotionally, or spiritually. You may have been hurt by someone else. You may have hurt yourself. And whatever the case may be, acknowledge this pain and suffering that has been caused in your life. Don't pretend it didn't happen because you want to be comfortable. And don't fear the past. Don't fear the past. So every time I get in the car, I get scared. I get scared because I have a fear of the past. I got hurt. I fell. Am I going to get hurt again in a car? If my grandchildren go somewhere, you know, I have that it's PTSD. You have fear, and I'm working through that. So you're not what has happened to you. You're not what you have accomplished. And boy, people say, oh, Anne, you've accomplished so much in your life. So what? When I stand before God the Father, he's going to say, how have you loved? Not, did you do this or that? Oh, look at this chart. You did all this? Nope. How have you loved? How have you forgiven? You see, you're not even who you are today or who you've become so far. You're also who and what you are still capable of becoming. You are your realized and unrealized potential. God sees you, Joe, Mary, Lydia, Susie. God sees you and all your potential, and he aches to see you embrace your best, truest, highest self. And he yearns to help you and to accomplish you and to accompany you in that quest, not to walk alone and figure it out. Trust me, I tried all that. It doesn't work. I get it wrong every time. And if you sense you're lingering in the past in an unhealthy way, ask yourself, how is that serving me? Is that really serving me? No, it's not serving you. Not at all. So when you experience a setback in your life, as I did, a major setback, or disappointment, or heartbreak, oh, it's easy to get stuck in that, isn't it? It's easy to get stuck in that rut. And when our hearts are heavy, it's hard to move on. Trust me, my feet sometimes have felt like they're stuck in cement. We all get stuck from time to time. And sometimes, by the way, we do it to ourselves, don't we? Sometimes someone else does it to us. And sometimes circumstances conspire against us. And by the way, sometimes we get stuck because stuck is exactly where we need to be in order to pause and reflect on life. I was stuck. My gas tank was empty. I couldn't move forward, backward, reverse, neutral, nothing. And as I wrote to my friend Ann Cardoza Costa, who will be my guest in the upcoming weeks, my gas tank was empty and I was stuck. Could feel nothing, hear nothing, knew nothing. I was just existing in a hospital bed. The question is, what do we do when we find ourselves stuck? Do you remember Albert Einstein? Do you know kids today don't even know who Albert Einstein is? Well, he had some great quotes, and he said, "We cannot solve problems by using the same thinking we used when we created them." Now think about that. I wrote this down. We cannot solve problems by using the same thinking we used when we created them. Albert Einstein. Bring the name up at the dinner table tonight with the kids. So, one of the most dangerous mistakes in life that I've learned is to ignore the moments that invite us to walk down another street. What? Walk down another street? Are you kidding me, Lord? It's all too easy to adopt the posture of the victim, isn't it? And blame someone else. So, after this program, I want you to walk down another street. And it's not a physical street. It's a spiritual or emotional street. You walk down another street. Can you do that? It's not easy. So the key to making good decisions is to choose what is good, right? I mean, we all know that. We as Christians know that. Thomas Aquinas, one of my favorites, believed that there were three kinds of good, worth pursuing, moral good people. Number one, you have to ask your question when you're making a decision, is it morally good? Example, love, virtue, justice. Number two, is it practically necessary? Like, you have to eat. You have to take care of your health. Number three, does this make you happy or are you miserable? Does it make you happy or are you miserable? And how many things did you do today that fulfill all those reasons? And the four absolutes are honesty, unselfishness, purity, and love. Now, I'm giving some of my coachable moments of sitting here, looking at a wall, not watching TV, just listening to praise music because I couldn't pray, just ruminating things throughout the night because I couldn't sleep. So I turned it into praying for other people. I asked the people who brought me Holy Communion, give me your prayer petitions. The Lord is going to use me to intercede. Now, I didn't have long prayers. I would just say, Lord, touch Eddie and his family. Touch Susie and her family. I didn't have anything else. I couldn't say anything else. But boy, oh boy, did the Lord answer those prayers. You see, simple living is the essence of wisdom. So if you're stuck in a rut today, the natural way to get unstuck, and this isn't easy, is to simplify your life. Strip away everything in your life, as Father Doug said, that's not essential. Simplicity, my friends, give birth to clarity. They give birth to clarity. I can't begin to tell you. There is so much happening internally, spiritually with me. As the Lord, it's not a new ministry. I don't even know what God wants of me in this radio program. Thy will be done. That's the name of the program. It's from the Our Father. And all we want, all of this, is for thy will to be done. I don't know what God wants of this program in the future. All I know is the moment. So today the Lord showed me this beautiful prayer from the Redemptorist. I found this book in my house, A Redemptorist Mission to Set Us Free. And I love this prayer. And I really believe it's for all of us who are listening today. And I know the beautiful Rita Hauck will be on after me. And I just thank you, Rita, for all that you're doing. And of course, Father, God bless you for all the months that you took over for me. Your programs were so inspirational. And I pray that our friends will continue to follow you on Fridays. But my friends, we're praying for the present moment. We're praying for the present moment. And I know many of you have made retreats about this, but this is from the Redemptorist. Dear God, I spend so much time reliving yesterday or anticipating tomorrow that I lose sight of the only time that is really mine, the present moment. You give me today one moment at a time. That's all I have, all I ever have. Give me the faith which knows that each moment contains exactly what is best for me. Give me the hope which trusts you enough to forget past failings and future trials. Give me the love which makes each moment an anticipation of eternity with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Father, let the suffering that all of our listeners are enduring today pass them. Not our will, but your will be done. Please, may you be blessed forever, Jesus, Son of God. Have mercy on all our listeners. Take their sufferings today. Nail them to the cross. Relieve them. Inspire them. Give them courage to continue to praise you and thank you for all things, good, bad, and ugly. Lord, we ask a blessing from heaven. We ask your heavenly blessing on this radio apostolate, on the radio station, for all the people behind the scenes, and for all the broadcasters who continue to share the word of God with everyone. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your sacred wounds, hide me. From the wicked enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever. Amen. Until next week, till next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.